Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 25. 1 Samuel 28, verses 3 through 25. Now, I do have lesson sheets. Anybody who wants one may have one. If not, we'll save the paper. So, if you end up not reading them, or you know, they just seem to be just accumulating and all that. Anybody else want one? Just raise your hand.
Okay.
That's your elbow.
Okay.
There we go.
Oh, we can't call it.
Well, that's okay. Very good. Let's before we start with the reading of God's holy word, let's begin with a word of prayer before the throne of grace. Dear gracious Father, we thank Thee for Your word, and we pray now that Your word and Your name will be exalted here tonight. We ask that You will be the teacher, that You will break the word of life for us, that we will feed upon it in earnest. We ask now that You will humble our hearts before Thee, that we might be willing servants of Thine. We ask only that You receive honor and glory through what is said and done. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 28. And the lesson actually reads 3 through 25, so I guess we can start with verse 3. Starts out with a new paragraph. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then, layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he, that is Saul, stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. New paragraph. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. And answered me, no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams, therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spoke by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and giveth it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Verse 20. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And a woman came to Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hastened and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did break unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This lesson and the lesson that follows this, which is the following lesson, is entitled Saul's Final Battle. These two lessons here together make a powerful lesson, one united lesson altogether. There's a lot in this. And in your lesson that's printed out for you, I tried to put into it as much as I could so that you could read over it, study it, and be blessed. There is not one portion of the scripture that needs to be ignored. It is all God's word. Because it is in the Old Testament, doesn't mean it is not for us. That is there for a reason. There have been men in the past who have died so that me and you can read this word. They have put their life on the line for us, just so we can read this. And I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to open this book and to be able to read it. Because I know this word is not available everywhere, and not everybody can read. There's those who have either not the mind or the training or the eyes to read. So, this might be in the Old Testament, but it is a very important portion. And it does concern a modern topic. The modern topic is actually a subtopic of this lesson. The modern topic is witchcraft. Does it exist? Is it real? Well, this lesson right here gets right into it. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 18, well, we think, well, you know, that's in the future, and that's prophecy, and, you know, that's all well and good. But the book of Revelation is a very practical book. And if you read it, and I know every last one of y'all do, the blessing is that it applies so much to us today. The Revelation 18 speaks about witchcraft. Those people in... there's a little passage there in Revelation 18. I can't remember what verse it is. That says there are people who are captives or slaves that are bought and sold by the world. And they are slaves of actually what is called witchcraft. If I remember correctly, the word witchcraft is based on the Greek word of that we get word pharmacy from. Drugs. And unfortunately, in modern America, there are many, many untold slaves of drugs, either prescription or street drugs. And the devil uses this form of witchcraft to take the people's minds away in the future. I've seen a lot of young people whose lives have been destroyed by witchcraft, by the drugs. Their minds are destroyed, their futures are gone. Their health is ruined. Now, this woman here that Saul visits is called a witch. And there is a law, there are several laws here that Saul had enforced, you'll see in your lesson, that he had... Exodus chapter 22, verses 18, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. That's about three-fourths of the way up on your page. Those are the laws concerning witchcraft. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. But in modern America, it has been glamorized, and it made acceptable to the youth through such cartoons as what we see on Disney, the Disney Channel. And the Harry Potter series that makes it okay to wave a magic wand and pretend. But little do they realize that the reality is that the spells that they are setting are based in drugs. Either the wizard has taken this drug, and he thinks he sees this spell going on, or they slip the one that they are trying to destroy, the drug. So it was a situation where it is controlled by drugs. So it is not a good thing. It is nothing that we should be teaching our children. Now, David had fled to Gath. Now, if you remember from previous lessons, Gath was the stronghold of the Philistines, and this is where Samson had his eyes burned out and had his final battle. And the Philistines actually thought David was going to fight on their side. Now, all this time that David had fled away from Saul because he was fleeing out of fear for his life because Saul had threatened him. All during this time that David was at Gath, the Philistines were building a huge, humongous army. And they pulled other nations into this as an alliance, from Syria and the Hittites and all these other major nations that are around Israel. And they all become united. And here we see in chapter 28 that they had circled around the outskirts of Israel, unbeknown to Israel. And they all of a sudden, one morning, show up on Saul's doorstep. And Saul was quite surprised. Verse 5 and 6. Saul had seen suddenly the large host of the Philistines. This is halfway down on your page here. Seeing suddenly the large host of the Philistine armies one morning, and it was very close. The sight was so overwhelming that it brought fear to this old warrior's heart. Now, you remember, we had gone into how old Saul was. Saul is not a young man here. He's not in his 40s, not in his 50s. If you check back in previous lessons, he's probably close to 80. He's at least in the 70s. But I gave, in a previous lesson, I had given you the timeline for his lifespan. But anyways, you can check back with that if you so desire. So Saul finds this huge Philistine army very close, just like overnight. And he's shocked. He's not ready. And Saul, all during his life, was an independent thinker. He would do it his way. He didn't check with God. Well, all of a sudden, it says here that he called upon the Lord in three different ways. God didn't answer him by dreams, by Urim, or by prophets. So Saul's prayers are not being answered. And Saul had a problem in the fact that he wasn't a man of prayer. So he's in a desperate situation. All of a sudden he needs the Lord, but the Lord is not to be found. Of course, the prophets, all this is a result of him being the murderer of God's priests. In the previous lesson, he had God's priests slain, so he wasn't really on the side of the Lord at this point. Unfortunately, it didn't seem like he was on the side of Israel, the national Israel, but there's a difference between national Israel and the what Apostle Paul calls the Israel of God. The Israel of God is the people of faith. All right. Continuing on with your lesson here.
Saul said to his servants, verse 7, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Saul here, he really couldn't call on the Lord, didn't. In his life, he didn't call on the Lord. But now the Lord's got him cut off, and he's cut the Lord off. But so what's he going to do? He's going to talk to the dead. He's going to talk to the witch. So he's trying to find a alternate source of inspiration. What am I going to do? I'm in a bad situation. Okay, so this is a word picture here. Saul, in his disobedience to the law of God, as well as his own decree, made a request for someone who in the Hebrew is described as a leather bottle. A person with a familiar spirit is, the Hebrew there is a leather bottle. In other words, it's an empty container to be filled with a familiar spirit. And your lesson shows what this is all about. Let me read it to you. A familiar spirit is different from a ghost. A familiar spirit is a fallen spiritual being that is familiar with the subject in question. A ghost is supposed to be the actual spirit of a dead person, but not the soul. The spirit of a person is their ethos. Now, you may recognize that word from ethnic ethnicity. We judge people's ethos or ethnics as their standards, how they think, as to whether they're good or bad. This is rather different than their soul. Their soul, the word soul simply means life. An animal has a soul, but they don't have the spirit. There's a difference. Their ethics, values, or laws that govern the life will make their soul either pure or corrupt. It is through the spirit that the spirit is made, that the soul is made alive. Now Saul's servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Now all of a sudden, Saul's in desperate strait. Here's the enemy at his doorstep. He needs advice. What am I going to do? He's desperate. The Lord has departed from him, and he's departed from the Lord. Anyways, his advisors, those close to him, his generals, say, well, we know of a woman. We know somebody who has a familiar spirit. Now, the thing is, how did they know it so soon? They didn't have to ask around, well, is there somebody around that has a familiar spirit? They already knew. And here's the reason they knew. It seemed that there was no inquiry made, but the servants had already answered. There was a woman who possessed a familiar spirit. Possessed a familiar spirit. In other words, she controlled it. She was the master of this fallen spirit and the host, the empty bottle, the empty container. Not too far away, about 10 miles from where Saul was, in a town called Endor. Now, Endor, according to the geography of the land, is in about an area that has a lot of cliffs and the caves in the cliffs, and it's a lot of old commentators thought that the witch of Endor stayed in one of these caves. The village was about 10 miles away. Jewish tradition has it that the woman was Abner's mother. Abner? Abner was Saul's general. So therefore, he knew what his mother was. He knew where she lived. So we didn't have to find out where there was a woman with a familiar spirit. His main general already knew because that was his mother. Because Abner was high rank in Saul's army, he probably protected his mother from being executed as a witch. Now, Saul must go to this witch in the town Endor, which is about 10 miles away, is very close and in and through the territory or the area the enemy is. So he has to take off his royal garment, his robe, and disguise himself as a peasant, a lowly person, and go into the enemy territory. He can't go in as king, lest he be caught and tortured to death and made fun of. So him and his two men go on a mission of darkness. During the night, they go through the enemy territory to this woman's abode. Now, it is rather interesting here to as to whether she actually saw Samuel when he gets there. He was wearing this disguise. Now, Saul was the tallest man in the country. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. So it was obvious who he was when he walked in the door. He probably had to stoop down to get in. But anyways, the wording of this chapter here at the end, it says Samuel in verse 15. It said, Samuel said to Saul. That means Samuel is actually there. So, Saul and the witch did not deserve this privilege of having Samuel come back from the dead. God permitted Saul this one last chance out of mercy to hear the truth and to repent. That's the only reason why I believe that he let Samuel come back. Now, there seems to be a question about whether Samuel actually wore a prophet's mantle. You'll see in your lesson there's actual passages. Now, there's some prophets early on in the Old Testament that did wear a mantle, which is a particular garb for them. But later prophets, you'll see your reference here. It says, compare 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8 with Mark chapter 1, verse 6. You know what that is? That is John the Baptist's clothing, which everybody thinks is weird and strange. I've got news for you. That is what they wore. That was the mark of a Old Testament prophet, what John the Baptist wore. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8 and elsewhere, that's Elijah. One of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. All right. Now, another question here toward the end of this lesson, and we'll close here. We're out of time. Was according to Luke chapter 16, verse 26, there's a great gulf fixed between the dead and the living, if you remember that little section. So why is it that Samuel was permitted to go across that great gulf when nobody can, you know, pass to and from, if this is true? Now, this gives a huge question, because there are some people who think, because of that truth, that Samuel was not really there, that they were all being deceived. But on the other side, the scripture plainly states that Samuel said these things. So I'm going to have to go with what it actually says. And it says Samuel was speaking. In spite of the fact that there is a great gulf fixed between the living and the dead in hell, in place of the abode, the lost man in hell, and he's still there, by the way, wasn't able to go anywhere. And it doesn't mention anything about Lazarus on the other side of the great gulf. Okay, we're out of time here. I do believe we will stop here. And if you have any questions on your lesson, I invite you to read it. There's a lot more to it than what I've gone over. I didn't have really the time. But the Lord will bless you as you go over this passage. let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Your Word. We ask now that You enlighten our mind. Cause us to live Your Word and love Your Word. May we be good disciples of Thine. And we ask that You'll simply cause us to please Thee in what we say and do. For it is indeed in Your name we pray.